Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
God has empowered me to overcome and to win in every situation in life. That's the power God gives us. So much, I think there are things lacking in current theology, in current how we communicate our theology. I think a big one is God gives us the keys. Jesus said, look, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Now, if I'm a disciple, my ears perk up. Don't yours? The keys to the kingdom. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Where any two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will join you. I'll be in the midst of you. Whatever you agree in my name, I'll do it because it glorifies my Father. That's the keys to the kingdom. That's how this thing goes. And let me tell you, we don't hear that often enough. You know, but there's other things. There's other things that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Yet, you know what? So many Christians live their lives blinking and flinching and cowering to the world. We're so concerned, we're so consumed that somebody's going to come against us. Do you understand? That's persecution is what that is. If it's for his name's sake, it's persecution. And the church is built for persecution. Understand that. Man, people will say, well, but what? Why do so many people want a big church? Because a big church is like a big ship that go through big storms, take a lot of people through those storms. I mean, it's a pretty simple approach for me, but I want you to know that God's will, his general will and his specific will in our lives is on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's will, on earth as it is in heaven. So you guys that are dads in here, that's what you're bringing to your home, on earth as it is in heaven. And you'll say, how do I do that? Man, you've got to, I'm telling you, you've got to, the Bible says that God's word brings light, and that light is the light of life. We bring life into our homes when we bring the word into our homes. And looking at that, we have to understand, I'm gonna go pretty deep in the word today. Are you guys okay with that? Man, a Father's Day, we're getting a Father's Day word today. Psalm 107, verse 19. Psalm 107, verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And I'll tell you, I think about our country when I think about this passage right here, right now. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to people that aren't even connected to God, but they're on this earth. Listen, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. See, we have to get his promises so deeply embedded into our psyche, deeply embedded into our identity, so no matter what, we're thankful and declare his works as wonderful. See, the way Paul said it, he said, look, give thanks in everything, give thanks, not for everything. Man, you're going through something right now. You give thanks going through that, not for it, but in it. Why? Because you're peculiar. That's what the Bible says. You're fearfully and carefully made, and you're a peculiar people. We don't react to things normally. Man, the things that the world freaks out at, we don't freak out at. Why? We have God's promise as our identity. Everybody say this with me. My identity is encased, embodied in God's promises. So he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, see, this is a big key. Man, television, media people, movie people, songwriters, they quote parts of this that don't make it true. If you isolate it and take parts of it and pull it out and put it in a lyric of a song, it doesn't make it biblical. So listen, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, there's conditions upon the truth. The only thing on this planet that's unconditional is God's love. the only thing. Everything else carries conditions, everything. So you got to understand, you got to say, well, how come God blesses him and doesn't bless me? Because the conditions have to be met. Jesus said, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, man, one passage he said, you can ask whatever you, and I'll give it to you. See, we understand that one translation of that says, if you continue in my word. But see, so much of this is repetition. So there's things I'm going to say today, you're going to go, I've heard that. I've heard that before. Why? Because it's repetition. And I'll tell you why I repeat things so often is because the enemy's deception and lies are repeated toward our lives so often. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted. This is talking about Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now remember, in 2 Peter, Peter writes it, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. But here, in the old covenant, the type and shadow, it's you are healed. So listen to this. He carries our grief. That grief is actually sickness. So he carries our sickness, our sorrow. That sorrow is actually pain. So what we go through in our life, the sickness and the pain, the discouragement, he carried all of that stuff to the cross. See, God's plan, it's simple. Number one, there's forgiveness of sin. There's forgiveness of sin. You're forgiven. I remember I was going through something years ago. I was on a golf cart here during the nightmare. Roger Walsh jumped in that golf cart. He said, man, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, really, how you doing? He goes, I said, man, I'm going to prevail. He said, hey, has God forgiven you? And I'm thinking, well, I was thinking about that day. I was thinking about that moment. And I'm like, he said, no, have you asked God to forgive you? I said, yeah. When I gave my life to the Lord, I said, God, forgive my sin. And I said, yes. He said, then you're forgiven. He said, I'm with you no matter what happens. See, understand, that's the God approach. That's how Jesus is in our lives. The reason God can connect with us, the reason God can put his Holy Spirit in us is because we're forgiven. Man, write that down. If you're a believer in Jesus, just write down, I'm forgiven. I mean, it's settled. Number two, there's healing of sickness. And you know what? I'm telling you, it's all determined. Number three, there's deliverance from torment. All of this is determined by what you submit your life to. I'm telling you, it's interesting because in UFC fighting, you can submit. There's submissions. And you know what? I'll tell you, men and women do that all the time, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Man, submit to things that are subject to change. Man, let me tell you something. The world, what's been proven in the last year and a half is the world can turn on a dime. It used to be we'd think, no, you know what? Man, it's not the world can't turn that quickly. The world doesn't move. Government doesn't move that. Remember that? Man, I grew up thinking, man, government moves slowly. Man, it moves so, man, it doesn't move that quickly. Man, in the last year and a half, it's like, are you kidding me? Man, you got to get up in the morning and wonder what you can or can't do leaving the house because things change so quickly. Why? Because there's a submission to it. See, leadership isn't about control. God's not controlling. Think about it. Man, the only way we put God in control is when we submit to his word. Otherwise, God's not in control. But when we submit to his promise, now God's in control. God's not in control of how you think until His word comes into play in your mind. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But see, God's not in control of your body. God's not in control of your health. God's not in control of your health until you submit to his promise. You submit to his promise, boom. You don't submit to his promise, you got to submit to something. Don't think you're sitting here today not submitting to something. See, he gives us deliverance from evil. That word evil means pain and poor. Is that interesting? Man, he gives us that deliverance. Sin, sickness, poverty, we're all taken care of. All of them, right there in that one prophetic utterance in Isaiah 53 that Jesus performed on the cross. Sin, sickness, poverty were all taken care of to never have dominion in a believer's life. Sin can't have dominion over you. Does that mean you can't sin? Absolutely. You can make a decision to sin right now. See, this faith is all a decision. Your salvation's a decision. What's the unpardonable sin? Making a decision to reject Jesus. That's what it is. It's not an action. It's not something you do. Man, I'll tell you, in my personal doctrine, and there's suicide is trending. And let me tell you, I believe it's the spirit. I believe it all starts with a demonic attack on a person's life that comes simply as a thought. That thought's not rejected, so that thought bangs around, and that thought gains power, that God intended your mind for the word to have power in your mind. So I remember I was a brand new Christian. My Granny Weems committed suicide, sick all her life. I had very little love in her life, yet watched Oral Roberts on television one day in the 60s in the 70s, and gave her life to Jesus, okay? And really honestly sent my little brother to ORU, made a decision to do it. But watching Oral Roberts on TV, she got saved. Then she killed herself. And I'm flying up there, and I'm thinking, God, I need an answer. I'm a brand new Christian. I've been a Christian less than a year. And you know what? I had this thought. I thought, if a Christian gets sick in their body and dies, where do they go? Of course they go to heaven. If a Christian gets sick in their mind and dies, where do they go? Same outcome. But see, we look at it, we listen to religion and other things that call things impardonable, the impardonable things in our lives. And listen, not just sending us to hell, but keeping us from healing, keeping us from deliverance. Are you guys listening? Yeah. Keeping us from a healthy life is rejection of God's promise, rejection of Jesus. Jesus became sin, you got it? And we became righteousness. It's a life for life exchange. He exchanged lives. I was sin, he became sin. He was righteous, I became righteous. See, that's how this works. The wrath of God came upon Jesus because he took our place. I mean, this is settling for things in our lives. And we have to look at this. We have to understand that we were once lost, but now we're not. Psalm 103 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now listen, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities. Think about that. Who heals all of our diseases. Who redeems your life. This, let me tell you, highlight this, underline this, circle it. Who redeems your life from destruction. And does just stop there. He just doesn't clean us up and make us whole. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies as kings and queens on this earth. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, let's keep going. Isaiah 33, verse 24. And the inhabitant will not say, this is awesome, I am sick. This is God's kingdom. the inhabitant of his kingdom, what are they going to say? I'm not sick. People say, what are you in denial? No, my identity, I'm pulling my identity out of that sickness. And the people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. Here's an interesting passage in Malachi, and I believe it fits our world today. It's Malachi, the fourth chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, pride comes before destruction. All the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. So they can't take root and they can't produce fruit. Now listen, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, and understand, it's S-U-N. So the light of God's word, the Son of Righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. So we're not on our own trying to eke out an existence out in the field. No, man, we've got safety and security and prosperity in that stall. And God feeds us and gives us daily from his word. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be like ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. See, this represents three things. This represents healing, prosperity, and victory. I told you it's going to be a lot of information today. So the plan of God for our lives, listen, healing, forgiveness, prosperity. Why can I be humble? Because it's not me. God gives me everything I need. How? I submit to his promise. It's all about submission. That's how the battle's won. That's how we win the battle of our lives. Man, some people say, man, I just can't quit smoking. It's because you're submitted to it. I can't get off these painkillers. That's because you're submitted to them. Man, I can't get ahead in my finances. That's because you're submitting to poverty. See, poverty's not nothing. Poverty is not enough. Poverty is barely enough. See, we serve a God who is what? More than enough. See, so if you're living with just enough, that's not the will of God for your life. I'm not saying that judgmentally. It's Father's Day. I mean, it's time for us to cinch our lives up a little bit. It's time for us to look at the way we're living our lives. You know, it's interesting because when I talk to men, I even talk to pastors, and the thing I'll ask them is, what's that one thing in your life that if you extract it from your life, changes everything? Because I believe there is. I believe there's one thing that causes all the dominoes to start tripping. See, the plan of God is that our spirit is born again. So God takes care of that. Okay? That's his play. Now, we're on the clock, and it's our play, okay? And our play is simply this, that our mind is renewed. Because our mind is the head of our body, as Jesus is the head of the church. So your spirit's born of God, your mind gets renewed, and your body just follows suit. See, in Matthew 9:1, Jesus got into a boat and he crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw the men, the guys who carried the paralytic man, he saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Well, of course, now all the Pharisees around, the religious people, the controlling people, didn't want to relinquish freedom to people. They said, who is this man who could forgive sin? He blasphemes. And that's horrible. And Jesus, knowing their hearts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? See, it's so interesting because we placate so many things. We allow so many things to have a play in our lives and to And Jesus didn't play it at all. He said, why are you allowing evil in your hearts? When they asked was, who's this man that could forgive? He blasphemes. Who's this man who can offer forgiveness for sin? And Jesus said, why do you have evil in your hearts? And he said, which is easier? And then he flipped it on him. He said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or arise and walk. Here's this guy laying on that mat. He's paralyzed. He can't move. He can't scratch his nose. Which is easier? Your sins are forgiven? If I'd ask you in here right now, how many of you guys, your sins are forgiven? It's easy. I know my sins are forgiven. You can't talk me out of that. And then there's this debate. Remember there was a debate about the grace of God, that your past sin, your present sin, your future sin, that your future sin's already forgiven. It's given people a license to sin. Hopefully we're not going to get duped into thinking, oh, I could just go do it and God will forgive me. We know that's nonsense. There's a price to pay for all of it. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sin. But listen, that's why the Bible says, obey those who are in authority over in the church, for they have to make account for your souls. I don't have to make account for what you say or what you do or how you act, but I do have to make account that this thought life is presented to you. Does that make sense? How you think, that there's a different way for you to think. So here's Jesus. He's saying, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or arise and walk. And we look at our forgiveness as like it's, oh my gosh, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. At the same moment, your body's healed. At the same moment, a heavenly peace comes into your life. You can either accept it, reject it. You can either reject it or submit yourself to it. The same thing, the forgiveness of God and the healing of God. It's like a brush stroke. Man, God took there's a stain on the wall, and God took a brush stroke and he covered that stain. And it was sin and sickness. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, that he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. How? That they know that he's got power over sin. It doesn't say anything about his sickness, his paralysis. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. See, it all goes back to power. God has given us power. Everything goes back to power. Either we have a powerful life or we don't. Power to preach and power to demonstrate his kingdom. See, what Paul said was, he said, look, it's not enticing words of men's wisdom. It's by the demonstration of the Spirit. How does God demonstrate his spirit? It's through power. Power, what? To forgive sin, to heal diseases, to call those things which be not as though they were, to give life to the dead. Now, here's what's amazing. Jesus came up to his disciples, and he didn't say, hey, go pray for the sick. He said, go heal the sick. What? But see, listen, it's interesting. It's working power. Wonder, where it's like, oh my gosh. What's your working definition? What's your folding money definition of wonderful? It's something that's above anything you could have imagined. See, that's the power that God gives us. Tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing will by any means harm us. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's like, but let me tell you, but if we have, that's why Jesus said, look, have the faith of God. For if you say to that authority, that mountain, see, can I tell you, everything's about authority. Everything. Money, everything is. It's interesting because I was at the airport buying a cup of coffee, and this guy says, that'll be $5. And I'm thinking, for a cup of coffee. But of course, I'm a gentleman, I give him a $5 bill. And I'm pulling some money out for a tip to put in the jar. And he said, we can't take cash. I said, you have to. He said, no, we don't take cash. I said, by law, you have to. He said, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. He said, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. Where did you go to school? And he's looking at me like, hey, look, idiot, just pull your credit card out and pay for the coffee. But somehow I just couldn't. And Sandy wasn't there to reel me in. So I said, do you see that on this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. Here's my money. He said, I'm not touching it. I said, okay. I pulled up my credit card and I put the $5 bill in the tip jar. And he said, thank you very much. We laugh, but let me tell you, that's how the world operates. See, I'm just telling you, I went through all of that information today for one reason. Because I'm hoping you're relatively intelligent, right? And you're successful, right? And you make good decisions. Here's what life is. It's connecting the dots. That's all it is. You're in your life right now, you're connecting the dots. All I did for the last 30 minutes was get you at a place where you connect the dots. Can you connect the dots? Does it make sense that if that America gave me a $5 bill and I can't buy a cup of coffee with it? It's funny. Not funny. See, we look at it now, and I'm not playing conspiracy theories. I'm not doing anything. I'm just telling you, it's what you submit your life to. You submit your life to junk, your life's going to be junk. You submit your life to God's power, guess what your life's going to be? Power. I want to pray for anybody in here whose life isn't right with Jesus this morning. Your life's not right with God. Jesus isn't Lord of your life. And you might say, man, I'm saved. My life is just, if it's the fruit of your life. Here's what's interesting, and this is a way to put it, because I think a lot of Christians miss this point. The Bible says, if the fruit is good, the tree is good. Because see, nobody can see into your heart, but they can't see your fruit. So if the fruit is good, the tree is good. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. You know, it's like that parrot that says, oh, it's not my kid. My kid's a good kid. He just hangs out with the wrong people. That's why he got arrested. That's why he robbed that gas station. He was with the wrong people. I'm like, okay, I get he's the wrong people, but at some point, when does he become the wrong people? See, I think we've got to look at things and just clearly, eye to eye. It's the fruit of your life. Does it exemplify this power that we've talked about for the last 30 minutes? Because that's all that matters. All that matters, our life, the fruit of our lives. We're going to go stand before Jesus. And we're going to have to make account for every idle word. And then everything, every bit of fruit in our life is going to go through this heavenly fire. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking about, the Bible calls it an awesome, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because that day is approaching. That great and powerful day, that hang on for dear life, because I'm hoping that there isn't this huge billow of black smoke rising up above the fire that my life's work. But what comes out of it is gold, silver, and precious stones. And when we put these moments, these altar call moments, are just a fire. That it's a refining fire. It's a purifying fire. It's a time where you may not say, man, my life's not right with God, but you know what? I haven't been treating my wife right. My life's right with God, but man, I haven't been committed to his word like I know I should. See, the Bible says if your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence with God. See, I want you to leave here confident, man, having confidence in who God is in your life and who God's word is in your life. Do you understand? God's word comes alive when it comes into you. God's word's alive when we speak it. And see, it's powerful. That word power, it's laced in every bit of the doctrine of the New Testament, the New Covenant. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus said, I empower you. Go make disciples. Go make them. Man, they didn't say why, because they knew they had that power. It's like, we've got a power. Go heal the sick. Are you kidding me? Man, that's the power that all I have to do for that to happen in my life. All I have to do is submit my life to it. That's it. You know, Gustavo's coming back in August and he's prophetic. Why? He submits himself to that prophetic gift. But what does the Bible say about you, Hunter? The Bible says, desire spiritual gift, especially that you prophesy. So it's not like this eyedropper that God's just dropping it on some people and not others. I'm telling you, it's whomever will submit to it. And I understand that there are giftings that people have. But just understand, you're not left out. Because that's how I felt as a Christian, as a brand new Christian. I felt left out. And then finally, I started praying for people in bars and pool halls and alleys and gas stations and just leading people to the Lord. Because I'm thinking, all I've got to do is get them to confess Jesus, right? That's easy. Man, I'm going to pray for you. I start praying. Now, why don't you pray with me? And they repeat. I just make sure I say Jesus is Lord of my life. And they say it. And I'm like. And people come up and say, man, you're an evangelist. And I'm thinking, oh, good. At least I'm something. But then I knew that that was never the lane God gave me to run in. I knew that. But you know what? I was appreciative that at least somebody recognized something. And see, I believe there's so many people in church today that somebody has recognized something. It hasn't hit the bullseye, but at least that dart's in the air. Man, the dart might be in the air in your life. I was talking to an intern Friday, and I said, how long's your internship? He said, till January. I said, what's your objective for the internship is to realize the call of my life? I said, okay, what if January comes and you can't do that? And he looked at me like I had two heads. I said, do you just keep pursuing it? Because that's how I am. I'll be honest with you, no doesn't settle with me very well. I've learned how to hear no, but I've learned what to do when no happens. You know, there's people, you've never heard at this church for almost 30 years, you've never heard somebody say, I asked God to heal me and God said no. Do you understand? God describes himself as a yes God. He's a yes God. You know, there's like, well, I don't surround myself with yes people. God wants to. Why wouldn't I? I want to surround myself with people that say yes to God's promise. What are God's promises? How are they defined in the word? They're yes and amen. See, God's not going to say no to any of his promises from any of his children. So where's the hang up? That's the moment we're in right now. That dart's in the air. I want the dart to hit the bullseye in your life for you to fulfill God's purpose. Man, raise great kids who marry the right people and fulfill God's purpose. Man, who make friends with people that they bring to church that marry the right people and fulfill God's purpose. And the next thing you know, this thing is snowballing. See, God's given us a takeover mandate. It's called dominion. And we like to think, well, but God's not going to give me more than I can handle, or God's not going to, it's like, stop pontificating and philosophizing and just get to a place where, what does the word say? That's where I'm putting my identity. I'm gonna live and breathe and have my being in these promises, period. So if you're here and your life's not right with God, maybe you got sin in your life, don't let it remain unresolved. Let me tell you got cancer, you know what I'll tell you? That's easy. Do not sweat it. Because the same way I could say, you got sin in your life, don't sweat it. It's easy. Right? Isn't that what was proven in the Word today? Man, you got something in your life that doesn't honor God? It's easy. You have to carry that anymore. Because it's a weight, right? Man, I'll tell you what, Sandy and I have been praying for you. God's hand's in your life. Don't ever doubt that. Let's all pray together. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. God, happy Father's Day. You're a good father. And I'm a good kid. I'm created in your image. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and whom I trust. I'm going to heaven. I'm never going to smell the scent of hell. God's hand is on my life, and my life will hit the bullseye. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.